Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey there, race fans, what's up? Thank you for tuning in to Race Fans Rock Radio Show. I'm your host, Infield Chen, and I got a good one for you tonight. I hope you've had a great week since our last show, and I know I did. I'm really excited about who my guest is tonight. I'll be speaking with Bobby Hamilton Jr. in just a few minutes. But first, let me give you a few highlights about what my week was like. I got to say, I'm loving my brand new Ford Fusion. My God, what an improvement from the big blue beast. I drive around in my new car, and I feel like I'm driving around in a stolen car. I mean, pretty much every car that I've ever had in the past has been at least 10 to 15 years old with some quirks when I got it. Like, one window don't roll down, one door don't open, one of my rear windshields was held together with some clear duct tape. True story. Well, like I say, I've had junkers in the past. Let me tell you, it got me from point A to point B, so that was really all I cared about. And, when I was living in New York City, you know that your car's going to get dinks, scratches, you know. So having a nice new shiny car in New York City is not the best thing to really have. And I'm sure it happens down in North Carolina too, but I'm pretty sure it's not nearly as much. Anyway, so far so good. My new car is still in great shape, and there's no scratches or dings yet on it. I hope it stays that way for a really long time. Anyway, another really cool part of my week was last Thursday, Brian Keselowski, myself, and his dad Bob, and our buddy Wes, we all loaded up in our trailer and the tools, and Brian's new ARCA car. We headed on over to Southern National for some testing, and I got to say, it was really cool, and I don't think I've ever seen Brian or his dad happy with a test session in all the years that I've been with them. We're really excited about going to Lucas Oil Raceway and competing on July 24th. He's definitely going to be competitive and go for the win. So I'm just really happy to see Brian finally putting back on his fire suit and jumping in that driver's seat. It's been quite a while since he's been driving in the ARCA series, and we're selling sponsorship for the car, and we're working on selling some more. So when we have the ink on those contracts dry and everything else in place, we'll make some official announcements about it. So other than that, personally, the rest of the week was the same old, but, the same old for those in Daytona. Holy crap. Now, a lot of my buddies down there were telling me that it was as hot as Hades, and I know they weren't lying. I've actually been down to Daytona a couple times in July, and, yeah, it's scorching down there this time of year. But it was also really cool to see the fireworks display that they have down there for the 4th, and I love fireworks, and I wish I was down to see them this year. I know they put on a good show. But the racing didn't disappoint, not by a long shot. There were plenty of torn-up cars. In both the Xfinity and the Cup race, I'm guessing it's a safe bet to say that the fans really got their money's worth this weekend, though. As for the Xfinity race, it was Austin Dillon who took home the checkers and won the Subway Firecracker 250. But his Cup racing results they sure were at the other end of the spectrum. I mean, my God, Austin's wreck into that catch fence really overshadowed Dale Jr.'s win in a big way. And you know how everyone loves to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. win at Daytona. I mean, even Dale Jr. didn't care so much about his win because he saw what happened in his rearview mirror. And I listened to his in-car audio as he took the checkered flag, and there was no celebration-like tone in his voice at all. It sounded like pure fear and nervousness and deja vu, So, I don't think I have to tell you guys, why either. I'm pretty sure you can imagine how he would have felt. If you haven't heard his in-car audio, then head over to my social pages, either on racefansrock.com, Facebook, or Twitter, and I have a link to it, posted all there. But it was a chilling wreck, and it was definitely scary a few minutes there. It was one of the worst wrecks I've ever seen. Austin went from being on the ground on the inside to flipping over and going over cars that were three wide going for checkers into the catch fence at about 180, 190 miles an hour. And the car literally disintegrated around him in less than 2 seconds after hitting that catch fence. And he went flying back to the ground upside down of all things. And I'd say about 3 seconds, it took that much. His motor and transmission came ripping out of the car and landed on the infield grass, and it was on fire. And if he didn't go through enough, the poor kid, Brad Keselowski and his number 2 car comes slamming into him, spinning some more. And Brad did say that, you know, he did everything he could not to hit him, but he went through that oil and debris that was on the track. And there was just nothing that he could have done. But there was really nothing left to that number 3 car. No front end, no back end. Basically, it was just an upside-down cage with Austin still in it. Crew members from the 88 and the 13 Cup teams frantically ran over to his car and got there, you know, before the safety crews did. And you know, they got down there and expecting the worst, but thankfully, you know, they all got up, gave him the thumbs up. They held the safety workers get Austin out of the car, and they did all that pretty quickly. When Austin got out and walked away, you know, the crowd went nuts, and so did everyone else. I know a lot of people were talking about Austin kind of waving his hands, kind of funny. I didn't quite understand what that meant, but I've come to find out that it's something to do with the bull riding, and that's the way that they give the okay. Yeah, I really didn't know anything about that. Actually, it was a one bull fight to be a spectator once in my life a few years ago. My buddy Clint Smith Jr., who's on one of the ARCA teams, he actually took me to one of these bull riding places down in Mooresville, and that scared the living daylights out of me. I never went back. But anyway, as far as everything that happened at Daytona and the response to the safety crew, I mean, it just goes to show how far the technology has come on these tracks and in the cars. I mean, only one fan went to the hospital and was released shortly after, and it's expected to be okay. 4 or 5 other fans got very minor injuries, and, you know, they didn't need to go to the hospital as well, thank God. So, you know, the catch fans did a really good job as well in as far as keeping those fans protected, so that was awesome. but, you know, keep this in mind. This all happened at, like, 3 in the morning. The race didn't even start till 11:42 p.m. Sunday night because of the extensive rain delays, you know, that they had during the day. I'm still off the launch on whether this was a good call or not, you know. They say that they did it for the fans, but I don't know. I think it was too long of a day for everyone involved, you know, race fans included. I know a lot of the crew guys were exhausted by the time the race started, and I'm sure that the drivers were too, you know, even if they took a nap in their motorhomes. You know, not every driver has motorhomes at the track, so, you know, and the race fans, you know, they had absolutely nowhere to go but the parking lot to their cars. You know, you can't really get that comfortable in a car for that amount of time. Now, I've done that in the past at Pocono years ago, and let me tell you, it sucked. But, you know, hey, kudos to the fans that stuck it out, dedicated race fans. It's always good to see, you know. But, yeah, they stayed for that race. So, but after everything was all said and done, the fans did go crazy over Dale Jr.'s win. And, you know, congratulations to Dale Jr. and the 88 team on a job well done. He led over 70-plus laps and dominated that race, hands down. He definitely had the car to do it, and he did. So good job to them. The Hendrick teammates all had good cars and were all up on front for most of the night, which it's not easy to do. You know, I actually heard on this morning that there's a lawyer out there, and he was called, and some of the people that didn't go to the hospital actually already contacted him to try to get a lawsuit out. So there's a big debate over whether that's a good idea or not. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, if they didn't really get hurt, I mean, what are you really suing for? You know, it's just kind of like attention. Do you really think you're going to get money out of it? I can see if, you know, you broke your arm or something. But I don't know. I don't really think that that's a cool thing to do. So we'll see what happens with that. Well, I guess, you know, we could look at it this way. Daytona's in the books, you know, and it's over and done. And now they can turn their focus on, you know, what's going to go on next weekend, which is Kentucky Speedway. And, you know, Kentucky's a pretty cool track. I've still yet to have gone to Kentucky. So hopefully I'll get there sooner than later. I actually believe that I will be there the end of this year with the ARCA Racing Series. And I am almost ready to have Bobby come on the show. I'm just waiting for him to kind of call in. So hang on. Let me get Bobby on the line. And we'll do that. I did post it out there on Facebook and ask what everybody did think about the 4 fans that contacted the lawyer, and it's a pretty big discussion. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, go to facebook.com, InfieldGen, and check and see what's going on. And if you haven't commented on it yet, do that. I'm just going to shoot Bobby a text right now. Call in now, Bobby. Come on. All right. We'll just wait for Bobby to get on the line. But, yeah, last time that I was actually down in Daytona for July was, I think it was back in 2012. I actually got to go down there with Racing Electronics. I was working with them at the time. And we got to fly down on Bruce's, he owns Racing Electronics. It was his little six-seater plane. Yeah, there were six seats in there. And it was actually just me and him going down to Daytona, and I had never, ever been in a plane that small before, and just looking at it kind of, like, made me really nervous. I was like, that little thing's going to go all the way up in the air. Like, it's safe, you know? But, yeah, it was cool. We grabbed lunch, and then we got on the plane and headed down the runway, and I had my fingers crossed for a while. We took off out of Concord Airport. I'm used to saying Speedway. Yeah, we got up in the air, and I was actually sitting in the co-pilot seat, and I remember when he told me, he's like, you know, all right, Jen, get in the plane. I was like, all right, I was going to go sit in the back. And he's like, nope, get in the co-pilot seat. And I was like, all the way up there with the levels and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing up there. He goes, no, you can just sit up there. I was like, all right. So I get all the way up there and kind of look around, and it's pretty cool because there's a ton of windows up there, and you can really just see everything. I mean, it was cool. But it was nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. But I said it was interesting, and we got all the way up in the air, and he said, okay, we're on autopilot or whatever it was, and he started eating lunch. I was a little nervous to move, let alone eat lunch, but I got through it, had some lunch, it was good. And then one of the highlights of the whole trip was, there was a couple highlights of it. We actually flew around a storm, and it was really cool because I looked out to the left and I saw like this rain coming down and black clouds, and then I looked to my right and it was bright and sunny and pretty, and you know, we literally flew around the cloud, and it was like amazing. I'd never done that before, never seen that before. And then actually when we came into Daytona, we got to kind of come over the beach and saw all that, came down and saw the whole speedway. And, I mean, that was really, really cool. So that was a really cool deal. Well, Bobby still hasn't called in yet. And I don't know why. Call in and then we'll get right onto it. But that's all right. Let's see. So, anyway, back to that story there, it was the best plane ride that I ever had, and worked in Daytona with him there, and I kind of sold some headsets and things like that, worked in the souvenir halls actually outside the track that weekend, and it was hot. It really was hot. So I know what those guys felt like, and I'm really sorry for that. But, yeah. But anyway, where is my, oh, and another thing that happened that was unfortunate. My dedicated fan in the stand reporter for Daytona, he had an unfortunate turn of events this past weekend, and his name was Joseph Wyatt, and he was there at Daytona camping in turn three. But unfortunately his phone got drenched early on and he was not able to take any pictures this weekend. So I wasn't able to get anything from him. But I can tell you that, you know, he did still manage to have a good time with all the other regulars in the campgrounds in turn three. So I was really glad to hear that. I also heard that with all the construction going on, you know, it was kind of limited out there on what was available to fans outside the track. So I'm sending Bobby another text message. Hang on, guys. Waiting for you to call in, Bobby. Yeah, this might be. All right. I know that Bobby's out in Tennessee right now, and I know that he has an hour difference. He's on Central Time, so that might be throwing him off a little bit. But, all right, I sent him another message, so hopefully we'll get him on the line real soon. But anyways, I was saying my dedicated fan of the same reporter out there, Joseph, he got his phone wet, wasn't able to take any pictures or anything like that. But, you know, he did tell me that you know, they still had a good time and whatnot. The rain kind of put a big damper on everything, and with all the construction that was going on out there, it was limited on what was available for fans outside of the track, but, you know, there was something. You know, I'm sure that once the construction's all over with, you know that Daytona is going to turn it out for the fans. So I'm excited about that, and I know everyone else is as well. So since that didn't go so well this week, which, you know, it's okay because things happen, and my dedicated Fan of the Stand reporter program is still going strong. Now, if you want to be one of my future dedicated Fan in the Stand reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, just connect with me and tell me which race you're planning on going to and give me your reasons on why I should pick you, and maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you some garage passes and send you to the track on a mission. As you can see, you'll be helping me and a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long while you have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. I promise you that. So I want to kind of click over to my Facebook real quick and just see what some of the other people have been saying about that lawyer that came on. Oh, and actually, right before the show, I posted up on infieldgen.com. I posted up the full weekend schedule so that you can keep up to date with everything that goes on at Kentucky Speedway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I've posted up the entry list for the Sprint Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and Camping World Truck Series as well. Got all that out, pumped out today, and we're just, you know, kind of waiting for Bobby to click in, and he's still not on the line. I bet you it's the whole hour thing that's throwing him off, but that's okay. So I had posted, as I said, about the four fans that contacted the lawyer, and, you know, everybody says, hey, it's on the ticket, you know, you're responsible to attend, you know, that's, you assume the risk. That's what David Anderson wrote, and Ron Montesino said, you know, those are real fans, you know, those are real fans for sure, and he said, real fans don't sue, which, you know, I can agree with. Wow, there has been a lot of comments on this. I didn't see them all. Okay. Dennis Mickelson, the most amazing thing that it took until Tuesday for this story to come out. Nowadays, as soon as anything happens, the lawyers convince the victims they've won the lotto. And maybe those people want to, you know, get in racing afterwards. Don't know about the old man. Rick Bluesman said, I wouldn't sit very close to the fence if that was the case. Okay, let's see, let's go down a little bit. Yeah, George Mendes said they're not real fans. Aaron Harrington said, I agree about the back of the ticket. I also know that Morgan, okay, that's the name of the lawyer, have some of the best legal minds around, as well as a lot of political affiliations. So this is going to be very interesting, to say the least. All right, Aaron knows a little bit more about this than I do. I actually didn't have a lot of time to kind of catch up on this whole story. I read through a little bit and skimmed it a bit, but let's see. Alex Timmerman said, it depends on how bad they are injured. I mean, let's be honest. If they have to have surgery or rehab or something, you know, they shouldn't be forced to cover it on their own. On the other hand, if they never even went to the hospital, maybe at most comp tickets for the next event they go to it at most. That's a good one. I like that. Okay. There's a lot of, wow, there is a lot. Corey Johnson put a picture up. Kind of shit does it. You got to go see what Corey Johnson posted on my page. That's a good one. All right. Well, let's see. All right. Well, Bobby hasn't called in yet, so I'm going to just keep going with the rest of the show. So anyway, that's that. Well, you know what? I might as well give a shout-out to my sponsors, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life as well. They've been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, infieldgen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Keselowski Motorsports. And they're a huge supporter of Race Fans Rock radio. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of other clients achieve the lifestyle that they've always wanted, and they've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, will help you live the good life, too. For more information and to schedule your consultation, visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. And if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area or surrounding areas, and your house is an absolute filthy mess, don't worry. Just call Taste Cleaning Services, and they will get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great in no time at all. There's no job that they can't handle. It's not too big, too small, or too disgusting. Trust me, I'm talking from experience here. With three basset hounds, things can get pretty dirty and stinky pretty quickly. My dogs only look low maintenance. So Taste Cleaning Services is a fully licensed and insured company. They clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. You can find them on Facebook, / Taste Cleaning Services, or email them at NorthCarolinaMade@gmail.com. And you can give them a call at 763-269-1919. Just tell them Infield Gen sent you, and they are the best. You won't be disappointed with their results. All right, I think we have Bobby on the line. Let me just cue that up. And we'll get him right away. Hang on one second, guys. Hey, Bobby, is that you?
Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, there you are. How you doing, Bobby?
Pretty good, pretty good. At the shop.
Cool.
At the shop working, we've got a new shop, and, man, we're building walls, taking walls down, moving shelves, putting shelves up. I mean, I think I've put this one shelf down 100 times and moved to somewhere different. So.
Oh, fun stuff. No, I totally understand. Well, I know you've been busy, so but let's get started from the beginning. You walked away from racing when exactly?
It was about right after my dad died. I had a contract left with McDonald's and stuff like that, and I finished that out. And when I finished that out, I was basically done with it. I was, it was kind of one of those things of, all my life, it was, I mean, that's what we did. We race. I did, my dad did, everybody did. And then all of a sudden, he was gone. And all of a sudden, I started feeling all this other stuff as far as, like, all this time I missed with him. And then I'm sitting here looking at my little girl, and I was like, you know what? My dad took care of us. He took care of me when it comes to taking care of me after he was gone with everything. And I can sit at home now with my little girl and spend every waking day with whatever she wants to do, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I was going to do. I mean, we was cheerleading, playing ball. You name it, we were doing it. And then she started racing. She wanted to start racing quarter midgets. So we started racing quarter midgets, and which was the wrong thing to do for me because, of course, I'm sitting here watching and I'm getting the bug. I'm starting to get this thing of thinking, you know what, within – she went out in her rookie year, won the most races, and won a championship. So then the next year, we had to move her up into one of the harder classes. I mean, she was 8 years old, and she was racing against 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds. Well, she won the first four races there, and then they came to me and said, we'll move her points up, but we can't have this because she was winning every race. They said, we just have to move her up. And I'm like, to what bracket? And she was running with the 14 to 16 year. I was like, no. I said, no. I said, she's a kid. Well,
wow.
She jumped in there. She jumped in there and still won four more races and wound up winning the championship. And then she came home one day, and this is not my luck, because what we done was we went out and we got two cars that was basically not new. I mean, the motors were new, but like the chassis wasn't this and that. So I was like, you know what, this kid, she's gonna do this. She's pretty good at this. So I stick my neck out, go buy this brand new chassis, and use the old chassis for a backup. Go buy a brand new trailer, and I swear to God, she walks in the shop. We're changing the gears to go to a test, and she's like, you know, would you get mad if I didn't want to do this no more? And I'm like, no, not at all. Yeah, and the whole time I'm thinking, what in the world? So I went and bought this $10,000 quarter midget that I wind up selling for $1,200 in a case of Doritos.
Oh my God.
So she was out of it, and then she wanted to start playing ball and everything else. Well, then, I'm telling you, by then, the bug was in me big time. It was back to, you know, I was over all that. You know, I was just mad at the world at the time when my dad gone. And
yeah.
I mean, anybody who's ever been in that situation knows. And
yeah.
And there was so much... And there was so much, and all of a sudden it was just, boom, I wanted to go back racing, and an opportunity came, and we took it.
Wow. Well, that's That's really cool. And you've been driving the number 97 ARCA car for Roger Carter at Carter 2 Motorsports since the beginning of the year.
Right.
And you're currently ninth in the point standings. How did you get with Carter 2 Motorsports, and how's it going? What's it been like?
Well, actually, I got a call from Roger. We got a call from Roger about wanting me to drive. So we worked out some stuff on how we was going to do it and so forth. Of course, I had a couple of sponsors to come with me and kind of help me out on this or that. So we went ahead and shook hands. Let's do this deal. And we were doing fine, and actually we got up to around, we were actually seventh in points and really doing, I mean, just doing our deal, you know, plugging along. When we had a bad race, we survived. Whenever we had a good race, we try to capitalize on it, so forth. And then we started getting, there was a lot of stuff rumbling at the shop as far as, I'm a big person as far as I don't get in nobody's business because I got my own problems, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, I brought a couple of people to the program that really picked us up that has always worked for me or my dad or whatever. Well, they come to me, and it wasn't no big deal. They was only about a week behind on their pay. So then I kind of just slept, you know, ain't no big deal. I'm trying to keep peace. Then all of a sudden it was the next week they only got like a quarter of their pay. That'll calm the Indians down for a minute. And I even went to him and said, hey, what's the plan? You know, oh, no, we're going to be fine. Just had to, you know, pay for this. I'm like, cool deal. That way I told him, I said, ain't none of my business. I'm just trying to put out the fires before we get way consumed with flames here. And before you knew it, it was 2 weeks. And then it was like 2.5 weeks. And then we had a situation where Roger, we was all at the shop. And before you knew it, there was an officer came in. Actually, there were about three officers, police officers came in from the county. Had a warrant, spun him around, put him in handcuffs, and
took him
to jail. Yeah, so I was like, So, of course, been there, done that to this circus. What I mean is, like, I knew what to do as far as first calm the guys down because they were like, what's going on? Well, I'm like, just easy. Everybody back to work, do your deal. That got them calmed down. Well, then got on the phone with sponsors and kind of wore them of just in case media gets a hold to it. This is what we know. This is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they're freaking out because they don't want their companies part of this and that. And he was in there for about 2 weeks. And go ahead.
Well, what happened? Like, why did they come in here and take him out of the shop?
Come to find out, it was over some bad checks or something he wrote on some accounts or something. And, you know, and the scary part about it is, and since then, you won't believe the drivers that have been calling me, telling me their stories or so forth about this or that. Yeah, and how they owe this one money or how this one didn't get it, you know, this one paid for this or that. And this is, and like I said, I don't mind telling you because it's the truth. I mean, and it's not one of these things I'm making lies up because it's, and you know, you're in this sport as much as I am. Actually, you're probably in it more than I am, you've heard the same stories. I guarantee you have. You just ain't got to live them. So.
I have heard stories, but not
right.
Like this.
Okay. Right. Well, wow. And so we go through all that, and then finally his wife, his girlfriend, she comes in and we're trying to get everything calm, and finally I tell her that, hey, you know, we got to pay these guys. We got to get this going. And their whole concern was having enough to get him out of jail because they took him off to he was in Springfield. They're supposed to move him to Kentucky because that's where the charges were or something. But they were worried about having enough to get him out when it was time to get out. Well, of course, the guys, they're not getting paid. So I had to stand up for my guys, and finally I just told them, this is the deal. You don't pay my guys, I'm not going. And I said, you got till Thursday because we were leaving Friday to go. And I told him, I said, that gives you, and if you feel like you need to go ahead and line somebody up to drive it, go ahead. Well, and then it was Wednesday, and I ain't heard nothing. And it was Wednesday, and I hadn't heard anything. So I went ahead and just got my driver's suit, got my helmet, got all the stuff out. And my guys were packing up their stuff. And, then all of a sudden I knew it was just a matter of time that a grenade is going to be thrown. And so come to find out, when they left here, They went straight back to North Carolina, and they went to wherever, Winchester or whatever, and they plugged somebody in it, and, you know, I think they rode around or whatever. And so done their deal.
Wow.
And, you know, and I was going to do my own deal at the end of the year anyway. I had plans to do this. We talked to different sponsors and so forth. Only thing we just didn't want to do it this early. But we found the shop. It was available. Then the sponsors, they were already committed for 2016, and actually we already have three drivers that are signed up with contracts as far as for, you know, kind of splitting the season, and that leaves me with the car, and that leaves me with my own car, and the other team, it's completely signed up in full. So right now we have two teams that are going for 2016 series, and that just tells me everything was supposed to be this way because it all fell into place. So
yeah, exactly. Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, a lot of people are going to say, well, you should have just, you know, they're going to look at me and saying I shouldn't have hung them out like that. But let me tell you something. You know this. Brian knows this. Everybody you're involved in knows this. If those guys are the heartbeat and blood of your race team, if you don't take care of them, they are not going to take care of you. And
I had to
stand up for them because I kind of felt like if I went without them getting paid, with them walking out, or if I would have told them, come on, let's just do this one more time, and then at the end of the rainbow, they looked at me like I didn't take up for them. And then they've always took up for me. I guarantee you, if we were somewhere right now and I got out of that car ready to fight, I'm going to have seven guys behind me ready to fight with me. And that's what a team's built off of. And I was afraid that I would lose that. And I didn't want to take a chance. And it just, you know, I had to stand up for my people. Simple as that.
Gotcha. So that's why you weren't in the car at Winchester a couple weeks ago. Wow.
Yeah, and also too, we just couldn't be a part of the criminal past. I don't mean to say it like that, but it is. I mean, all you got to do is look it up. I mean, before I knew he's been through a couple incidents, which, hey, you know, I mean, I guess everybody. I don't say that because I've never been to jail, and I don't think you're. I mean, what I'm saying is, things happen. You fix it and you move on, and that's why I was assuming it would happen, and that he would move on, and we would, you know, do a deal and be fine. And I'm going to find out it wasn't fine. I mean, and I even asked him, and the only thing that made me mad about the whole thing, I even asked him, are you sure everything's good and clear? There's no kind of – you know what? I don't mind somebody having a graveyard full of skeletons in their closet as long as I know about it, because if I'm a part of your organization, I'd just like to know about it. I know. And it's not so much as I know because I'm nosy. It's just you don't catch me with my mouth hung open, you know, like, what? You know, I mean, and that's basically what happened. So right off the get-go, you know, and that was the kind of thing that irritated me, was like, I can't be a part. I just can't, because that affects.
No.
And I'm going to say this, and I said this 100 times, and people understand this more than anything. My dad, and this was the one slogan he told me, always in racing. He said, Bobby, he said, you got to steer clear from X, Y, Z, whatever. I'm like, okay, I understand. He said that. And I told him, I said, what do you mean by that? He looked at me just as serious, and he said, let me tell you this. He said, if you play with a turd long enough, you're going to get it on. I was like, I guess you got a point. So so from that theory on, it was just kind of one of those of, I just needed to, I guess, flush the turd and go on.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, I mean, you know, as infield gen, you know, I hear a lot of stories, a lot, you know, and I hear the things that go on at the track and with teams, and, you know, I've heard some things about that, you know, the team, but, wow, this top of the cake, man. I had no idea it was like that crazy, but insane. Yeah. So I'm guessing, you know, it's safe to say you will not be driving for Roger Carter moving forward. So now your plans for the rest of this year, when is the first race that you think you'll be back on track for yourself, with yourself?
We are looking at Kentucky, I'm not for sure. One of my drivers, he's wanting to go to Kentucky, so if he goes to Kentucky, I think we're going to try to go to Kentucky. But I think if it's up to me, with everything that's going on, with everything they're trying to rebuild, I mean, I'm serious now. We're at the shop now, and I'm telling you, we have a 7,000-square-foot shop. And I'm telling you, it looks like somebody took and crashed a 747 inside of it. There's wood laying everywhere. There's, you know, it looks like somebody picked it off the ground and shook it and set it back down. So I want to make sure my main thing is when we go to Daytona in December, we're ready. I don't want to take any chances on doing anything to hinder that, to slow that progress. I want to make sure, you know, we have three speedway cars. We got those the other day. And they're sitting up there waiting for the shop to be done. And I want to get them back in here, massage them, do everything we know to do to make them fast, get a little more motors in and make sure we're good to go in that department and go from there. I don't want to show up somewhere just to show up, you know, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand that completely.
I just want to be prepared. That's it. I just want to, when I show up, to know, act like, at least look like it's organized chaos, you know?
Yeah. I know a thing about that, too. Wow. Well, so do you know, like, is Roger Carter, like, is he out? Or is he going to still race? Like, is he still racing?
I think they're still doing their deal. I think they're getting drivers in, I assume. I mean, get people into starting park or whatever they do. I don't, you know, I just to kind of look off of, you know, what they were accustomed to doing before I got there. I mean, that's, you know, it was kind of one of those situations. And there's nothing wrong with it, but they couldn't really afford the tires. They couldn't really afford the big motors and stuff. They had those carburetor motors. And nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. You got what you got, you know. And
right.
We made the best of it when we had to. And then, fortunate enough, we had a couple people come along that would help us with the motor. I'm going to tell you, Carlos with Lear with the 58 and 59 car, he's got a set of angel wings waiting on him somewhere, because he's really jumped in and helped me with a lot of stuff.
Right.
He's really, I mean, the motor program that I got with him, made a phone call. He's the one that got it for the fair price, but then he didn't need to lease it to us for, cars. He even told me after all this stuff happened, he said, call me. I got two cars sitting up here. Come drive it. I will come down. I'm like, dude, just let me regroup. I talked to him last night, matter of fact, and I even told him, I said, what my plans are. And he said, if I find out you call somebody else needing help besides me, he said, we ain't friends no more. So, I mean, you know, people are behind me. We know what we're doing. I talk to Ron Dreger probably three or four times a week, making sure we're on the right track here and there. We're, you know, I know this is silly because, I mean, we've been there, we've done that. I bought the T-shirt and everything else at the zoo, okay? I mean, I've been to cup racing, truck racing, nationwide racing.
Right.
And I want to tell you, I've never looked at nobody and been like, I want to be like that person, because I always kind of wanted to be my own identity. But I'm going to tell you what, I really want to be the Frank Kimmel. I want to be where everywhere you go, you're going to be there. I want to be everywhere you go, you got a shot at winning. I want to be that more likely he's going to win the championship. That's what I want to be. So, you know, and that's my plan, getting us to that point and trying to move my company to that point.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're trying to do the same thing here with Brian. So it'd be nice for Bentley at the races and competing. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I seen your Facebook. I seen him doing all the tests. And where y'all racing at, Indy?
Yeah, we're gonna be going to Indy, and the test session was really good. He's really happy with the car, so that's really good. So yeah, hopefully he's got a good shot at seeing the checkered flag. That'd be great. Wow. So I gotta ask. Do you know, like, is Roger Carter like out, or is he still in jail? Like, what?
I don't know.
Know.
He got out and he hightailed to North Carolina, and I know he's got several people looking for him to repost stuff and stuff like that. But because they called me looking for stuff. They called me, said, hey, he got bad checks here, and I'm like, here's his phone number. Well, he don't answer the phone. I'm like, well, this is where the shop was. And it's locked down, and it's got some pink papers on it where it didn't, I mean, you know, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my deal is, I'm here in Springfield, I'm doing my deal. He has to keep going because he has drivers that he's already sold stuff to. And I imagine some of them were worried about making sure they get their deals done because they've already paid for it, I'm sure. So, but like I said, I'm sure they'll go and do their normal deal. Ride around with tires and collect money. So I guess, I don't know.
Wow. Insane. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. One thing that I always ask any driver or crew member that, you know, comes on the show, you know, trying to stick with the whole Infield Gen thing here is, what's their most memorable moment with the race fan? So what's yours?
Ooh, wow, man, that's one of many. I'm going to tell you what, And this was, I was driving a Nationwide car in Kentucky, and a lady, and it was a drive. Typically, you know, you're always going to hear somebody talk about, well, they wanted me to sign her boob or something like that, and it wasn't nothing like that. This is, I mean, this was, she came up to me and literally had, and it was a bag of silicone. And I had no idea what it was, so I just grabbed it, and I just signed away, and I'm like, Linda, what is this? And she said, it's a breast. I'm like, it's a what? And she said, it's a breast. I'm like, well, it ain't used or nothing, is it? And she's like, no. She said, what it is, what we're doing is auctioning them off for breast cancer or something like that. And I was like, well, hell, I'll give you the whole bag. I'll sign all of them. And then it was like, and then, of course, me being me, and I was sitting there, and I had this pair in my hand, She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just... This is the most boobs I've grabbed at one time, so I'm just trying to grab all I can while everybody can see this. I mean, so that right there, I mean, that was a fun moment, probably one of the coolest moments, because I had no idea, and it was funny because she had some guys with her, and they were taking pictures and everything as far, because what they were trying to do is auction stuff off to raise money for that. And, I mean, it was really a cool idea because I didn't know what it was. I mean, because, you know, you've seen it, people sitting in lines, they're handing you stuff, and you really, really try to pay attention to everything and answer questions, talk to them as much as you can. But at the same time, that you're kind of in a herd of cattle. You know, they're just trying to rush through to get to the next driver, so you really don't have a lot of time. And then she just dropped it, and then she dropped it on the table. I just picked it up, and I got the feeling. I was like, what is that? And then she told me, and I was like, ain't used, right? So... And then she had a whole big bag of them. So I trying to grab all the boobs I could grab at one time, I guess. I don't know. That was by far one of the best things as far. I mean, that's something that really sticks out of my mind as far as
awesome.
Any kind of thing that I've had with a fan.
That's awesome. Oh, God. So, wow. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that we didn't get to yet?
No, I think we covered it all. I'd like to, once we done and get everything done with all my drivers and everything, I'd like to get back on here and kind of get all the fans a heads up and everything else. And, and matter of fact, and kind of do what I'll do with you, if you don't care, before we even put a press release out or whatever, I'll get with you first, and that way you get top story.
Sounds good. I would love to do that. Absolutely. Thank you. Cool.
Okay, well, you got my cell phone number, you got my Facebook, so we'll get hooked up or whatever. You got more stuff, you still at me, and like I said, you call me and I'll get on here and tell you more stories.
Anytime you want to come back on the show, by all means, come on down. That's great.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was quite an eye-opening discussion. I hope to see you at the track real soon.
All right, girl. Hey, you make sure you tell him I said good luck at Indy if we don't see him there, and I'll get y'all a win.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll definitely tell him that.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy. Bye. Wow. So that was something. I'm a little speechless after that. But, you know, unfortunately, these things happen, you know, and not every deal between a driver and a team goes well, and sometimes it's worse than what you can ever imagine. Like I said, you know, as infield gen, I can't even begin to tell you the things that I sometimes hear and I find out, you know, and I mean, I really can't tell. For as much stuff that I do share, there's about as much stuff that I'm not at liberty to share. And, you know, I can tell you that I have heard stories from previous drivers and crew members who came out of the Cardiff Motorsports camp, but I'm not one that goes around and repeats things like that, you know, and I really didn't know that Bobby was going to have issues like that or that he was having issues like that over there. And even if I had a thought that he was having issues like that, I wouldn't have thought that they were as bad as he just described. But since that's the case, according to everything he just said, he is, I guess he's better off parting ways and moving on with his own deal. And I wish him a lot of luck with that. As for Cardiff Motorsports, I'm not going to judge because I don't have their side of the story and it's not my job to do that. So I'm going to leave it at that and move on with the rest of my show. Let me just get back down to where I was down there. Hey, I actually have another caller on the line. And let me see. Who is this? Hey, caller, you're on the air. Hello? You're on Race Fans Rock. All right. Oh, jeez. they hung up. I guess they see what I mean. I don't understand this. Everybody that comments on my Facebook and stuff says, "Yeah, I want to call into the show," and then you, they don't call in, or they do call in and I answer, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's infinite," and they hang up the phone. Like, what are you doing? Okay, anyway, let's get on with the rest of the show. I'll talk a little bit about racefansrock.com, my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. And I mean everyone. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and the media members. Come on, you know, come on all together and interact really easily. So what are you waiting for to join? It's free. It's free. My web designer, David Allen, and I working to make it the hottest social site for racing on the entire Internet. We've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and we squished it all into one social community. It's dedicated to everything racing. Get in on it now and watch it keep growing. We're doing really cool things on it every single week. We have cool prize giveaways and other. We have giveaways, we got prizes, all kinds of stuff, and we got a lot more to come. We've made it really easy to stay connected with the integration of Facebook and Twitter, and you can post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post to Race Fans Rock. Plus, we took it one step further with a complete and total Twitter integration. Really easily connect your Twitter account to Race Fans Rock, and you'll see your entire Twitter feed on racefansrock.com, where you can tweet, favorite, quote, and retweet all from racefansrock.com, and it'll post to Twitter from racefansrock.com. Did you follow that? We are currently at 213 members strong as of today, and we're growing that number every single day. And I want to welcome our newest members who just signed up, and that was David Adkins, Jonathan Stacey, Al Dresser, and Donna Davis. Thanks, guys, so much for joining. We launched on April 6th this year, and I checked the stats out just before the show, like I do every week, and we are well over 128,000 page views and interactions since April 6th. So it's really cool, and it tells me one thing. When our members sign into racefansrock.com, they stay on racefansrock.com, and that's really cool. This is exactly what I wanted to accomplish with racefansrock.com. I'm turning the site into everything I know a race fan will love to be a part of, as well as turn it into a huge benefit for the racing community that includes those drivers, teams, and sanctioning bodies of the, and of course, you know, the media. So go check it out and join today, okay? Got a lot planned for racefansrock.com. Some of the new features we implemented this week were the ability to now post pictures in the comments. We could tag members in posts and comments, and you can even edit comments now. So that was a little bit of a drawback, right, that we had some issues with the software, but we worked it out, no problem, and checked it off the list. So the next cool feature that we're adding this coming week is a Race Fan of the Week photo album that will be featured site-wide, so you can get to know that member and connect with them on racefansrock.com. And what's really cool is that, you know, like I said, we're going to be able to post multiple pictures in different posts and status now, so I'm looking forward to that. Our member feedback is excellent, and everyone who's joined says that they're really, really enjoying the site. So my favorite feature by far is the live chat rooms that I have set up for every single driver in the top three series and then some. And I have my Infield Gen Social Sofa chat room set up on there, too, where you can instantly connect with other fans that like the same drivers as you do, and you never know when that driver will actually pop up in there and chat with his or her fans in real live time. So after you become a member, get to the chat room. Just click the chat tab. You'll see it says Browse Chat Rooms. Click on that and then look for your favorite driver's name or, you know, the one that says Infield Gen Social Sofa. Click on that while the races are going on, and you'll be in my live chat room with me talking in real time about the races lap by lap that we're watching live on TV. It's awesome. Now, I posted the racing updates on my Facebook fan page. Better to do it in the live chat room. It's instant. It's more interactive, and it's more interactive than anything you can do on Facebook or Twitter combined. The goal for racefansrock.com, my goal for it, is to build it into a one-stop social media shop for everyone to stay up to date with everything and everyone in racing all on one awesome site. So far, it's coming together. It's really coming together just as I wanted it, and it's meeting all of my expectations. So like I said, if you haven't joined it already, go ahead and do it now. You're going to enjoy it. And join it now. Watch it grow into the best, hottest social racing site on the Internet. All right, moving on. I started talking about this a little earlier in the show. Brian Keselowski will be driving his first ARCA race of the season. He'll be driving his number 29 Ford Fusion for the upcoming Sous Chef PowerPex 200 at Lucas Oil Raceway Park on July 24th. And a big part of us being able to go to this race was thanks to all the race fans who signed up to become team sponsors through my Infield Gen fan sponsorship program. Brian is really appreciative to all those fans who signed up as well. We're never going to lose faith in the power of the race fans. Now, while we are going to do this, we still have space available on the car, and we could use a little more in sponsorship to go to the track and know that we can do it, you know, to the best of our ability to ensure a great finish, which we are totally expecting. Brian loves this car that he's got, and his attention to detail while he was building it, it was insane. Now, the race is going to be televised on Fox Sports 1, and they usually rerun it, too, a couple times. So if you've been thinking about getting your feet wet in the motorsports industry, a good way to go about it is to get on board as a sponsor with Brian Keselowski Motorsports. In addition to just having your decal on a car or a patch on Brian's uniform, we're offering really attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com and InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, YouTube, and more, as well as live commercials right here on this show. We could even include some VIP experience passes to an ARCA race and or to a NASCAR Spring Cup Series race of our sponsor's choice. And check in a few weeks when I get my Infield Gen Race Fans Rock fire suit. I'll have space available on there as well. I'm hoping to do, the reason I'm getting that fire suit is not because I want to walk around the track in a fire suit for no reason, but I'm hoping to work with some of the tracks coming up and, you know, do some stuff in their fan zones, and I kind of need to stand out a little bit more than what I do in just my Infield Gen shirt, you know, with my little logo on it and a pair of black pants. So we've got that, you know, coming and it's in the works, so we'll see. But, you know, we always strive to do more for our sponsors and make it a successful partnership, you know. So working with our team, it's really a great opportunity for you to get the word out about your business, your product, or your brand. And if you want to make an announcement like happy birthday or happy anniversary, hey, will you marry me, you know, whatever. If you want to use our car and our team as a vessel for you to do that, just let me know and I can make that happen for you. Connect with me and we'll work that all out. Inquiries will be answered directly by me, and I can be reached at infieldgen@gmail.com. So let me tell you a little bit more about my Infield Gen fan sponsorship program, which, like I said, really helped us get Brian back on track this year. My Infield Gen fan sponsorship program was another thing that I kind of came up with to connect race fans, allow them to have the access that they're dying to have, and give them a chance to meet all their favorite drivers while they help teams like mine get the things that they need to get back on track to go racing. Started the program at the beginning of the year, and now it's caught on so much already that I'm literally turning race fans into sponsors every single day, and it's awesome, and I can do that for you too. And I bet you didn't know that you could be considered a team sponsor for as little as $100. That's right, just $100. It's based on the different packages I'm offering. Our sponsors will receive a VIP pass or a few of them to a NASCAR Spring Cup race of their choice for any of the remaining races during the 2015 season. For more information, go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions, so you have all the information that you need to make that decision. After you read through it all, the only thing you need to do is contact me and tell me when I can make you a team sponsor too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. Go check it out, and I'm telling you, you never knew how easy it was to become a team sponsor, which will give you the access that you've been dying to have so that you can have the best time that you've ever had at the track, and it's going to help us get back on track. I'll customize packages as well, so if you want to see your logo on a Sprint Cup Series car, I can make that happen for you too. Just go check it out. I can hook you up. All right. So now that the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity Series teams have loaded up their cars and what's left of some of them, they left the beach and Daytona until next year's Daytona 500. They're all moving on to what's to come, and what's to come is next week at Kentucky Speedway. And the good news is the Camping World Truck Series will also be there, so it will be a full house at Kentucky Speedway this weekend coming up. Now let's get started on who's in it, who's driving what, and what's going on this weekend. Start with the Camping World Truck Series. There are 34 trucks on the entry list for Thursday's UNOH 225 at Kentucky Speedway. A few notes is Cody Coughlin will be in the number 25. Ryan Blaney returns to the number 29 for Brad Keselowski Racing. The 36 is on the entry list, but they haven't chosen a driver yet, so that's still to be announced. Daniel Suarez will be in the number 51. Christopher Bell is expected in the 52 for KBM, but it's not 100% written in stone just yet, but it's expected to be in that car. We shall see. Caleb Holman is in the number 75. Caleb Holman, I wonder if he still has his little flip phone. I give him hell about that all the time now. Anyway, Brandon Brown is in the number 86. David Gilliland, pulling double duty, he'll be in the number 92. The UNOH 225 is set to start on Thursday, July 9th at 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Now onto the NASCAR Xfinity Series. There's 39 cars on the entry list for Friday's Kentucky 300 at Kentucky Speedway. Few notes is BJ McLeod will be in the Rick Ware Racing, number 15. Eric Jones is in the Joe Gibbs, number 20. Timmy Hill returns to the JGL, number 26. Kyle Busch is back in the number 54. Dale Earnhardt Jr. will drive the number 88 for his Junior Motorsports team. Now, Tyler Young will drive the number 90 instead of Jimmy Weller, who was initially entered as the driver. Now, this will actually be Tyler Young's debut in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and he is actually going to be pulling double duty himself this weekend by driving in both the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He's currently 13th in points in the Camping World Truck Series, and Tyler, who is a Midland, Texas native, is going to do his absolute best to finish well in the number 90 Ramco Industries Young's Building System Chevy SS for King Autosport and SS Greenlight Racing. Say that three times. Anyway, this is something that Tyler has been looking forward to for a really long time. Tyler is actually a friend of Brian and I, and we wish him the best this weekend. The NASCAR Xfinity Series Kentucky 300 is set to start on Friday, July 10th at 7:30 p.m. on NBCSN. Okay, moving on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. There are 46 entries on the list for the Quaker State 400 at Kentucky Speedway this weekend, which means three unlucky teams will be going home after qualifying. Ugh. We have Ryan Blaney in the 21 for Wood Brothers Racing. Jeff Green will be in the number 30 for the Motorsports Group, which is owned by Curtis Key. Will Kimmel will drive the number 32 for Go Green Racing, and this is Will's debut in the Sprint Cup Series. So good friend of ours also, and wish him a lot of luck as well. Alex Kennedy will be in the number 33 for Circle Sport Racing, and Michael McDowell will be in the number 95 for Levine Family Racing. Now, the drivers that need to be in the top 36 in speed and have no provisionals available to them, which means that they're the lowest in onus points, is Ryan Blaney in the 21. He's 44th in onus points. Brendan Gaughan in the 62, who's 45th in onus points. And Jeff Green in the number 30 car, who's 49th in onus. The drivers that would miss this race if qualifying is canceled, which would be the drivers with the least amount of race attempts, would be the 21 of Ryan Blaney. He only has 7 attempts. Jeff Green in the number 30 also only has 7 attempts, and Michael McDowell in the 95, he has 10 attempts this year. Okay, the Quaker State 400 presented by Advanced Auto Parts is set to start on Saturday night, July 11th at 7:30 p.m. on NBCSN. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend or you're not able to catch the action on NBCSN or Fox Sports 1, that's okay. You just go on, grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my very own live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. I really want to get away from posting the lap-by-lap race updates on Facebook since it takes way too long for people to read it and respond. I'm really hoping that you'll join me and everyone else in my live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com and chat with me all race long. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. Find me on racefansrock.com by simply typing Infield Jen in the search box, add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldJenFanpage and facebook.com/racefansrock. Follow me on Twitter at Infield Jen. I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, Periscope, and more as Infield Jen. Make sure you visit my website, InfieldJen.com, on a daily basis and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results. That includes all practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes and the penalty reports for every single race. Make sure you also check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each track, different teams' press releases, photos for my dedicated Fan in the Stand reporters every weekend, and so much more. Check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfieldGen.com. Then, don't forget to click over to the merchandise tab and get yourself some Infield Gen gear. I got some really cool stuff. And then when you're on RaceFansRock.com, there's a merchandise tab on there too, and that there goes takes you right to RaceGear.com. That's David Allen's site, and he sells everything in there that a race fan could want, not just my stuff. Sales, signed autograph stuff, everything from die-casted T-shirts, and so much more. So check that out too. It's RaceGear.com. All right, well, I'm out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank Bobby Hamilton Jr. for calling in and sharing his interesting story. I want to thank all the race fans who became sponsors and helped us be able to put Brian Keselowski back on track. And a huge shout out to Highland Wealth Advisors LLC for their continued support, Tate's Cleaning Services for helping me keep a clean home every week, and to each and every one of you guys who tuned in. I hope you all enjoy this weekend's night races at Kentucky Speedway. And if you go into the track, feel free to send me some of your awesome pictures that you take so I can post them up and show everybody else how much fun you're having at the track. It'll all be posted on the infieldgen.com on the Fan Central section. I'm still trying to figure out who my dedicated fan in the Stand reporter will be this weekend. And once I do, and I'm close to picking someone, you're going to hear about all about it on the show next week. And even if I don't find someone for this weekend, I think I will. I promise that next week's show is going to be awesome. And I will also be speaking with Danny Chrysanthis, with the Adaptive Driving Experience. Find out how that program helps disabled people strap in and experience what it's like to go around the track in a real race car. It's a really awesome program, so tune in next Tuesday night to hear all about it. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll get to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, you guys have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, racefansrock.com. Sign up today. It's free. Okay, I'll see you there. Good night.